Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is a republic if you can keep it. An inside look at Michigan and national politics with Jeff Timmer and Mark Brewer.
I'm Jeff Timmer. Welcome to the Gone Fishing edition of A Republic If You Can Keep It. As their lord and master Donald Trump has commanded, Republicans in the U.S. House have officially launched a fishing expedition in hopes of finding something, anything that they can use as an excuse to impeach Joe Biden. It was a straight party line vote, something that may haunt Republicans next November.
And I'm Mark Brewer. Just to give Democrats even more electoral ammunition, the economic numbers continue to shine. This was a new record-setting high this week for the Dow Jones Industrials. Inflation and mortgage rates are coming down. Gas prices below $3 a gallon. And continuing job growth. Will this ever translate into improved job performance ratings for President Biden? Republican war on women has escalated with a cruel, heartless, and unconscionable denial of an emergency abortion for a woman in Texas, a pregnancy that could have killed her. And a new case in Kentucky will also keep the Republicans' no abortions ever policies in the headlines. In New York, Democrats got the green light from that state's top court to redistrict the congressional seats, which may give them an opportunity to pick up some congressional seats in that state. The Republican war on transgender Americans escalates in Ohio. And the U.S. Supreme Court agrees to rule on two cases affecting Trump's trial. The first, whether his claim that he is immune to criminal penalties as a past president. And the second, a case about the scope of the statute that penalizes people, including possibly Trump himself, for obstructing official proceedings of Congress. Here in Michigan, two more state criminal investigations have been launched involving former Republican speakers of the House, even as the Republican fake electors face their own preliminary examinations in their criminal proceedings. And finally, Governor Whitmer will shortly be sending out in the new year state earned income tax credit checks to some 700,000 families. And we all know that politically, you can never lose by sending people money. But let's begin, Jeff, with the increasingly brazen crazy that is Donald Trump, as well as some electoral developments. Let me just tick this off by sharing with folks, they may have seen it already, that there is a poll out today that shows Trump up by 50 points over his nearest competitor in the Michigan Republican presidential primary, which explains why none of them are coming here. I doubt Trump will even show up with those kind of numbers. It's all but over here if the fractured Republican Party can ever get its act together. But Trump is clearly in command in the Michigan presidential primary.
Trump is clearly in command everywhere of the presidential primary, and we are really just now a handful of weeks away from this race being over, not just theoretically over as it is today, but once they vote in Iowa and once they vote in New Hampshire, and then Nikki Haley, with the momentum that she really doesn't have, gets blown out by 30 or 40 points in her home state of South Carolina, and then Trump rolls through many of the winner-take-all states on Super Tuesday, the number of delegates that he needs to secure the nomination he'll have an insurmountable lead. The race will effectively be over here in very short order. And that's just the reality. What you're seeing in this Michigan poll is the reality that we're seeing in many states. Donald Trump has a commanding lead over Republican voters. Republican voters, by and large, are either outright choosing to support Donald Trump right now, today, or they're indicating that they're very open to supporting him as these other candidates who they might be flirting with in small numbers, even in states like Iowa and New Hampshire, where Nikki Haley and Ron DeSantis have been spending all their time and money, they're barely into double digits in those states. Donald Trump's over 50%. So the political world wants to say that there's really one ticket out of Iowa and New Hampshire, that if Nikki Haley can best Ron DeSantis in Iowa and then come out ahead of him, but still far behind Trump in New Hampshire, that somehow there's this notion that she can gain some momentum ahead of South Carolina and overcome what is a massive lead by people in her home state who know her very well and are choosing instead to support Donald Trump. This isn't going to be a kind of a seismic shift. That this is more of the wish casting by the professional horse race prognosticators and the gentry class Republicans that they can somehow stop Trump. I just don't believe it can happen. I've never believed it. And I think I'm going to be shown to be correct here by actual voters in the very near future.
Yeah, if I can harken back to 1992, Jeff, you may remember, being the avid political historian that you are, that Bill Clinton made a modest comeback in New Hampshire, proclaimed himself the comeback kid, and proceeded to win the Democratic nomination in 1992. There ain't going to be no comeback kid in the Republican presidential primaries in 2024. But yeah. You can pick whatever metaphor you want. That dog won't hunt, et cetera. Yeah, it's just not going to happen, which means now even fewer restraints on Trump. He has absolutely no electoral restraints, right? There's no threat to him. He's going to be the nominee. And we saw some legal development this week as well, with the Supreme Court taking this case about whether he can claim presidential immunity. That triggered the trial judge in D.C. to put the trial on hold. So even if the Supreme Court promptly rules, the trial may get put off. Jack Smith's goal is before the election, but the clock is ticking, the calendar's running, whatever you want to say, and he may not even have to face that trial before the election. And there's a related case, which also could complicate Jack Smith's attempt to punish Trump, the case involving this federal statute that federal prosecutors have been using to punish people on January 6th about officially corrupting a proceeding of Congress. There's a question about the scope of that law, whether it even applies to what happened on January 6th. And if the Supreme Court narrowly reads that statute, that could eliminate half of Jack Smith's case against Trump. So Trump had a pretty good week in court, frankly, in terms of his goal of delaying all this stuff so that if he's elected, he'll just get the cases against him dismissed.
Yeah, what this is all laid so bare is one of our previous guests on this podcast, my friend and colleague at the Lincoln Project, Stuart Stevens, authored a book a couple of years ago titled It Was All a Lie, how the Republican Party never believed any of the things it said during his time helping elect people at the highest levels of it. And I agree with that. We have numerous examples of the people who spent their entire political careers talking about how character matters and character counts, who've now thrown that up by the side because of Donald Trump, saying that nobody is above the law and the law applies to everybody, except they're now trumpeting and celebrating special treatment that Donald Trump continues to get. He is being treated specially, not in a negative way, by the legal system in New York and everywhere else because he was president. He is being treated differently than you or I or anybody else would. And if all you have to do is say, I'm running for president in order to be able to escape prosecution, I think we're going to see a whole lot of criminal defense attorneys start figuring out FEC filings as part of their court strategies here going forward. Because this is, I can't imagine at the end of the day that even this Supreme Court in Washington that has the likes of Sam Alito and Clarence Thomas and other Republicans, justices who were picked by Donald Trump. I can't imagine that they're going to come down on the side that what a president does in office makes him immune to all prosecution. And that would be a complete abandonment of any pretense that they are conservative rule of law justices who once adhered to the dictates of the federal society when it was at least a reasonable mainstream center-right organization, it would be then that they would be complicit in a kangaroo court-style lurch toward authoritarian rule. If a president can act with impunity in office, no matter what they do and who they do it to and how long they do it, we're quite frankly, we're past the point of no return then. There are no boundaries for any. It's not just Donald Trump, what he did during the period of 2017 through 2021. It's what every president would be able to do going forward. And God help this country if the Supreme Court doesn't say this trial can proceed.
I think the Supreme Court and what it's doing is going to be a major issue next year. And I just want to kind of explore this with you. While that court, and Trump appointed, what, two or three of those justices, delivered on substantive issues that Trump favored and so forth, it has not been his personal friend, right? Cases ultimately reached the court after the 2020 election that let's put aside the election, let's have a do-over, whatever, and the court gave him no relief. So there's been, the court, at least so far, has made a distinction, I think correctly so, between these substantive issues on which it's conservative, and I disagree, but so be it, and these cases which involve Trump personally. I hope you're right. I think these prosecutions that are going forward in Georgia by Jack Smith in New York are the right thing to do to try to demonstrate that he's not above the law, but he is taking advantage of the built-in delay in the criminal justice system. We bend over backwards in this country to treat people fairly and give them due process. That means delay. That means people get to ask questions and appeal rulings like he's doing now, and that works to his advantage. But also the court now, it just took, and we didn't mention this in our intro, but it's a big deal this week, they took the abortion pill case. The case that arose out of Texas, where a right-wing judge appointed by Trump said the FDA over 20 years ago had screwed up when it approved the use of what's called mifepristone, which is one of the important ingredients in medical abortions, the use of pills to induce abortions, and basically stripped access to that pill away. That got reduced, minimized somewhat by the Court of Appeals, and now it's in front of the United States Supreme Court, likely to be argued next spring and decided next summer. And this is a huge case. At this point, as I understand the statistics, half of the abortions in this country are done not by surgery, but by using medication. And this mifepristone is an important part of that. And so this is a huge case about access to abortion. No matter what the court does, it's going to keep abortion front and center in the national political debate the next several months. And then add in the two things we talked about in the intro, what's going on in Kentucky, what's going on in Texas, and I think will also continue to happen in other states. As we see with these very restrictive laws, women having literally go to court to get an order permitting them to have an abortion, just an extraordinary thing, and being denied in state after state. So I think, again, the Supreme Court not doing this intentionally, but their activities in the abortion area are going to keep that issue alive, which I tend to think we're down to the benefit of Democrats overall. But what do you think about all this, Jeff?
I do, and this goes into what I was saying just a few moments ago about Stuart Stevens' book, It Was All a Lie. This is just another example, what's going on in Texas, what's going on in Kentucky, what's going on in Ohio with the further assault on transgender rights. Where it's a lie is the Republicans and conservatives for years said we are smaller government, limited government. There's the libertarian sect or quasi-libertarian sect of the Republican Party who says smaller government, stay out of our lives. These are huge government conservatives. These are what we're seeing is not small government. These are a government so big and powerful that they can come into the doctor's room with you and your wife and your daughter. They can come into your bedroom and do issues like contraception and marriage. They can get involved in medical decisions involving your family, your children. This is an activist government, Republican Party. They are taking on a theocratically tinged, massive activist government role that will lead to curtailing of of liberties, personal liberties, marriage liberties, medical liberties, the very concept of freedom in this country. And it is, I think, it's not just the courts, it's the continued actions by these very zealous Republicans in states like Texas and Florida and Ohio, and in states like Michigan, where they're in the minority in the legislature, but that doesn't stop them from voting against bans on child marriage, for instance, or things like that. These are very defining issues that the Republican Party has chosen which side they're on, which is not the side many of their voters are on. And that's where they keep pushing this extremism, this beyond extremism to the point of radicalism, where they're looking to stop people at state lines in Texas. And you could be sued, you could be charged if you aid Kate Cox and people like her from leaving the state to obtain an abortion. This is very much a lurch toward authoritarianism, and it's dangerous. And I think that there is a wide swath of Republican voters, or certainly center-right independent voters who've historically voted Republican, who have said now in the last several elections, no, we are not part of that Republican Party. And what they're doing is making the choice very crystal clear. The Republican Party is no longer an option up and down the ticket for these voters. They're doing a lot of the work for the Democratic campaigns. Now, where the Democratic campaigns have to go on our binary system is they have to get people to complete the deal. They're okay. They're not voting for the Republicans, but they need to go over and fuse with the Democrats, even if they're not Democrats, even if they disagree on certain policy issues, that Democrats are now the only party of sanity, the only party of freedom, the only party of liberty, the only party of any limits to government's power is now the Democratic Party in Michigan and nationally.
But beyond the abortion issue, Jeff, the Republicans seem to be handing Biden and the Democrats issue after issue. Now they're talking about repealing Obamacare, right? They've resurrected threats to cut Social Security and Medicare in order to do their radical budget cuts. They're just handing these issues. And I've noticed last few weeks a pivot, certainly by Democrats and at the state party level, but also by Biden himself, increasingly attacking Trump and the Republicans on these specific issues to try to draw the contrast that you started to describe there, but on a broad set of issues. Heck, even taking Trump's reference in the Fox interview, I can't believe he whiffed on that one, to say, I'll only be a dictator for a day. Okay, he didn't deny it. Dictator for a day can do a hell of a lot of damage in one day, particularly as we start to see the plans being laid by his former and current staffers about what his administration looks like. And so again, they're handing these issues to the Democrats to draw the contrast that you've been describing.
Yeah. And what I think our listeners need to prepare for, and they're probably preparing for this more so because they're political junkies, but what American voters are in for is the longest general election in our history. The general election is effectively underway now. We know who our candidates are. There's no mystery except to those who want to pretend otherwise. And we're going to have the presumptive nominees here very quickly. There's still this pie in the sky wish casting by some Democrats and some on the left, or is being fostered by some in the media, that somehow Joe Biden is not going to be the Democratic nominee. It's lunacy. Joe Biden is going to be the candidate. Donald Trump is going to be the candidate. Those two are the only ones who are going to receive any electoral votes whatsoever. They're the only two candidates who are going to win a state. There is not going to be some magical unicorn third-party candidate who comes in and wins states and delivers this blow to the two-party system. It doesn't work that way. Our system demands the president receive a majority of electoral votes, not the plurality, not the most, a majority. They've got to get 270 or more. That means it's going to come down to one or the other winning votes here. That's just the reality, and it's going to be a long, long. We have nearly 47 weeks, almost a year, and it's going to be, people are going to be tired of it. I think one of the big reasons Joe Biden won by the massive margin he did nationally and the sizable electoral college vote was people were tired of the 24/7 kind of fire hose of Donald Trump in this constant controversy, in your face, government politics all day long, 24/7, because most people aren't political and they hate that kind of stuff. Yeah, they thought it would go away. It hasn't gone away. I think there's many things, and we can, this might be a good segue to start talking about those things that are lining up, all the economic numbers that, as we've talked in on several episodes about how these are lagging things that people don't realize yet. They see good numbers in joblessness, in wage growth, in GDP growth, in the Dow and the Standard & Poor's Index and NASDAQ at historic highs. They don't translate into their wallets and into their family budgets for a while. But that while will, by the time we're at next summer, people are going to start to realize the real economic benefits of this, and that anxiety, history shows us, the economic anxiety that polls are measuring today will ease somewhat. Now, the anxiety and fear is going to be continued to be driven at an alarmist pace by right-wing media. The Biden campaign, I think, needs to get active and serious in a way earlier than they plan to. There were some reports this week that they're going to really be turning on the campaign later in the spring. They don't get that choice. The campaign's underway. They need to get with it and start engaging in leading the charge and setting the expectations for the rest of the pro-democracy movement, and certainly the rest of the Democratic Party, that this is the fight for the soul of America. This election is not about Donald Trump. This is about who we are as Americans. And if we're going to, we have a choice for our future. We can have Donald Trump's future, or we can have a future that looks like the America that we all know and have believed in. And Joe Biden can be the president that points us in that direction and turns that future over to the next generation of pro-democratic, with a small d, Democrats and Republicans, or some faction on the center right who will believe in the Constitution and rule of law in the future. But this is really the most consequential election since 1860. I believe that, and I think history is going to bear that out.
I agree with you on the economic analysis, Jeff. And as I mentioned in our intro, heck, I paid $2.89 for a gallon of gas this week. Yay, it was amazing. The Fed's not only saying we're going to stop increasing interest rates, we're actually going to cut them. I had dinner with a friend of mine who's a builder last night, and he thought that was really good news in terms of people, the housing market moving, people being able to buy homes again without having to pay astronomical interest rates. So those kind of things that drive home to individuals on a personal level, that the economy is okay for them. And I think that's the important thing. All their statistics, they don't really care about that as much. They still don't really care about it at all, frankly. But they want to know, how is this going to impact me? Is my gas going to be cheaper? Am I going to be able to buy a house, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? I don't think people are so polarized. It's not going to have a huge impact. We're not like it was back in the 60s and 70s. Economy's booming. Incumbent presidents get reelected. We're not there anymore. But it can, at the margin, like a lot of other issues, help if the economy, on a personal level, is seen to be in better shape. I want to talk to you, though, about, and I know we keep doing this to our listeners, but there's continuing activity here in Michigan in terms of criminal investigations, criminal prosecutions. This week, we discovered why I think former Speaker Wentworth didn't investigate Speaker Chatfield, because it turns out Wentworth is now under criminal investigation for steering at least one grant, if not two, to a former aide of his. And so the Attorney General is investigating that, and it's just nonstop. And Attorney General Nestle again promised this week that soon she'll wrap up the Chatfield, long-running Chatfield investigation, and tell us what's going on there. Either nothing, issue a report, or indictments, which I think are widely expected. All the people I know in the press corps are just hanging on, watching for that, as it was promised before the end of the year. But just amazing that the stuff continues to come out. I think we have almost, you know, the last three Republican speakers. I take him. I've got. We don't have Tom Leonard. Tom Leonard's not in the mix, even though he was a mentor and a mentee of some of these folks. But Chatfield, Rick Johnson, and now Wentworth under investigation. There's still pending criminal investigation of Shirky's campaign finance shenanigans. Lots of suspicions about Mikoff, a former Senate Republican leader. It just seems nonstop. And of course, this week, and they were got a lot of publicity the last 2 days, the preliminary examination of half of the Republican state collectors in terms of their scheme. And they completed documents. They attempted to file them, claiming they were the real electors. And Nestle, like a couple of other attorney generals now, are prosecuting them for that. It's just nonstop. You and I, as we were growing up in politics, one criminal scandal was extraordinary. And it's just too much almost. But any thoughts, Jeff, on the latest on these criminal developments this week?
Well, it's almost, and this is, I think, one of the tactics of the Trumpist Republicans. It's just this deluge of information that you become numb to it. And I think there's any one of these criminal investigations, scandals, convictions. Rick Johnson just reported to prison in Minnesota where he's going to spend the next 5 freaking years. It's stunning to me. This is somebody who was a friend and client at one point, and I'm just shocked at this. Lee Chatfield and the charges that could be coming there, the rampant criminality, any of these would have rocked Lansing in normal pre-Trump times. I call it the before times. And now it's just, there's so much that it almost, whether or not you care, it seems to be determined by which party you support. And that's something that Trump has done, has politicized, partisanized everything in American culture. What you watch, what you listen to, what you believe. What set of facts you believe. There's no reality. There's alternate realities. There's a right-wing reality, and then there's the reality for the majority of Americans. And it really does impact how these cases are viewed. It galvanizes the Republicans because they are getting their information about these cases from an alarmist, propaganda-driven news, so-called news infrastructure that is whipping them into a frenzy that this is all politically motivated witch hunts to by communist socialists who want to eat your babies and change America and sell out to the globalists or whatever that means. And it galvanizes the Democrats against the Republicans. But this is how history shows us, and there's a great book by Ruth Ben-Ghiat, who studied authoritarian movements, totalitarian movements in academia. It's called Strong Men. And this is a classic, how do these people ever take over? How does it happen? How could it happen here? They're never a majority. They're always a minority, but they're a minority who are driven fanatically toward a goal. They are opposed by most people, except that there's so many people that just have an apathy. They tune it out. They think either it can't happen here, this is too controversial for me, I'm not political. They wake up someday and find themselves, this doesn't happen overnight, where all of a sudden you're in a totalitarian state where jackbooted thugs are kicking down your door. It happens gradually, but this is how it happens. And these people are making no secrets about what they intend to do. Trump's comments about dictator. People are still, after nearly a decade of him saying things and then doing them, saying what he doesn't really mean what he says. History shows everything he says he's intended to do because he's gone forth and done it. There are people who are much more capable, sinister, disciplined than Trump who will carry out this vision, who have the Steve Bannons and Steve Millers of the world, and many other hundreds and thousands of people whose names we don't know, who will be put into these positions. They have plans to take over the federal government and put their people in place in a way that will fundamentally change who we are as a country and how we function going forward, because we will no longer have free and fair elections. And if we cannot have a system where the losing side agrees to be governed by the winning side, then we stop functioning. It's always taken the faith and participation of both sides. That's what happened in 1860. The minority side chose not to participate. They said, we're not, Abe Lincoln won the election. We are going to not participate. We are leaving the country and we are going to fight a war. And we are at that precipice. Now, I don't believe we're going to be a shooting war because it seems like we're not in that kind of, that's not where we are culturally. But how do we stay together as a country through four more years of this? How can we keep doing this election after election, where one side, the losing side, and now it's been the losing side several elections in a row, just refuses to participate, refuses to accept the results, refuses to govern? We cannot continue. It's dysfunctional, it's corrosive, and it's ultimately where they're going to assert the majority will on this country, or we're going to succumb to this tyranny of the minority, and God help our future.
Reflections on a sadly significant anniversary. After these messages on a republic, if you can keep it.
Epic MRA is pleased to sponsor this podcast. Epic MRA is a Lansing-based market research and public opinion polling firm with nearly four decades of experience measuring public opinion about politics, ballot proposals, and public policy issues.
Our clients include media outlets, school districts, colleges and universities, all levels of state and local government, and membership organizations. For the November 2022 election, Epic MRA published the most accurate final pre-election poll among several state and national polling firms.
Our polls most closely predicted the actual election results in races for governor, secretary of state, and attorney general, as well as the three ballot proposals.
Epic MRA is clearly the go-to polling firm in Michigan. Visit www.epicmra.com to learn more.
Ben Franklin may have invented the Franklin stove to stay warm, but we go Ben one better. We have the Ben Franklin hoodie, dedicated to Americans for sanity. But wait, there's more. Our merch store has coffee mugs for Democrats, uncrazy Republicans, and free-thinking independents, as well as t-shirts for the discerning democracy lover. Just click on the merch center link on our homepage, arepublicpodcast.com. Show your support for political sanity at the podcast merch store. It's your duty as an American.
As we close, today is the 11th anniversary of the horrific shooting of all the small children and six educators. I think it was 20 kids and six teachers at Sandy Hook Elementary in Connecticut. Just a grim reminder of the senseless, evil, the insane devastation that this mass gun violence has inflicted on our society. It still continues to be a problem. This week, Ethan Crumley, the 15-year-old at the time who shot several fellow students at Oxford High here in Michigan, was sentenced to life without parole. In that case, his parents are awaiting trial. That will be a groundbreaking trial, the first parents charge. But we still have we've talked about gun issue on this podcast many times, just this senseless slaughter. But the thread that seems to be common through this is the resistance by elected Republicans to common sense gun laws that are supported by massive amounts of voters, including wide swaths of their voters, 60, 70, 80% issues. Recently, Michigan passed the people convicted of domestic violence can't own guns for a period of time. That's pretty common sense. But Republicans, almost to a person, voted against it in Lansing. Wake up, people.
That's a wrap for this week's edition. Been another crazy week. Hopefully, we've helped each other survive it. And we thank you again, as always, for joining us.
And we can't go away without reminding you of the perfect holiday gift, our exclusive newly designed Tribute to 91 Felonies mugshot mug. There's a link to the mug and other great merch on our homepage, arepublicpodcast.com.
And if the Republic is still standing next week, we will be back.
A Republic If You Can Keep It, with Jeff Timmer and Mark Brewer, is a production of Michigan Citizens for a Better Tomorrow.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.